Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is the Four-Man Rush. You know, after using these life-changing products, you're going to want to join a ball sack beauty contest, buddy. I'm looking out for you, too, because I have an exclusive 20% off discount on behalf of the Four-Man Rush and Manscaped. Use this code 4MRSCAPED20. Okay, that's 4MRSCAPED20, all one line, right? Go to manscaped.com and you get 20% off and free shipping off of your total order. Isn't that, I mean, that's really good stuff. It's really good stuff. You got to check it out, right? That's 4MRSCAPED20. That's the code. Punch that in on your way out when you check out, after you get all your goodies. And there you go, man. And enjoy keeping your ball sack in tip-top shape, okay? You know, Manscaped is dedicated to helping you level up your full-body grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 kit, okay? So look for that when you go on manscaped.com, okay? So get 20% off and free shipping with the code 4MRSCAPED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use code 4MRSCAPED20. It's 2021, folks, and you still got Bush. Change that with Manscaped.
So, on ongoing discussion, how'd you guys feel about the trading back for the picks that we picked up? We wound up having 11 draft picks in this draft.
I saw a report though that not everybody was happy with those moves. I think the Panthers reporter said that as Federer was making these deals, some people in the war room were like, yo, there are quality old linemen and you're trading back. And as you're trading back, these people are going off the board. And so, you know, apparently there was a bit of division there because the Panthers could have better met some offensive line needs if they didn't trade back. I think they went from, 39 to 59 in the second round. And so there were some people who just weren't happy with that. We'll see if that pays off. Yo, I didn't get to ask Federer this question because I think I was on the beach during a press conference. It wasn't professional. It wouldn't have been professional. But he had fun. Like, this man was getting calls. It's like a, you know, it's a girl who has all these suitors. He's getting all these calls. And he answered the phone for all of them. I think that he had fun with this draft. I don't know what his strategy was. If somebody called with a good offer, he was like, all right, just like, you know how y'all say women let guys take them out to eat. Federer let everybody take him out to eat. And so, you know, it was, I think he enjoyed the whole game of trading back, but they did pick up good talent along the way. I think it's a double-edged sword. I think that, you know, we'll see. I mean, if you're sold on Cam Irving, then okay.
Strong Cam, yeah.
Just had a flashback, man. I saw it. Had a flashback.
This wine is delicious.
I know Smooth not sold on Cam Irving. He can't be.
Yeah, Smooth.
He a Florida State guy too, so.
I know. Don't remind me because I feel bad feeling that way. But Florida State is betraying me. Other than Brian Burns, man, Kelvin Benjamin betrayed me, man.
Oh, poor Kelvin.
You're absolutely right.
Bless his heart.
I guess that news got to be true that you heard about some guys in the war room pretty upset, because I promise you, if I was in the war room, I probably would have caught an assault and battery charge, because I would have.
Oh my God.
Federer would have had to catch these hands, because I'm literally sitting there. We sitting there at 39. Everybody that we scouted, everybody that we wanted,
Was that 39?
It was the whole draft. The whole draft.
Yeah.
Forget Jackson Carmen. We moved on from that. But the fact that you went and got Tommy Tremble, a lot of people didn't even know who he was. But Wyatt Davis was right there. Probably the best guard in the country was right there on the board twice, and you passed on him. So I'm pretty sure some of them guys that work in the trenches, they wanted to put hands on Federer.
Who do you think was mad though? Because if Federer's making these trades, somebody was like, "Yo, son, what are you doing?" Maybe
I was like that because I was ready to be done for the night.
Whoever works in the trenches and whoever works with the quarterbacks. So the quarterbacks know that they got to get protected. So probably all of them, because honestly, you're setting Darnold up to fail if you don't know who your left tackle is going to be. So then we got to listen to all these fans cry about how bad Sam Darnold is, but you're giving him no chance. Now, I ain't going to be too pessimistic because I do like Deontay Brown. I thought he should have went a lot earlier than he did. I was just thankful that we got him. But I just seen some guys fall down the board that we knew that we wanted that would come and be day one difference makers. But you're settling for a backup left tackle that might be able to play guard that might be average in the football league. So it's like.
And that's the thing. They do that every season. Every season, going into the offseason, going to the draft, there's always a need on the offensive line, and they will do everything but take care of that need. And it's just like, I'm waiting for Ashton Kutcher to pop out.
You told me those words last episode. You gave me those exact words last episode.
Yeah, it's like you're being pumped. It's like, okay, this is an obvious move, so let's go that way. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. Like, I'm not even going to hold you. I still was shocked that they didn't take Justin Fields, even with everything that was going on. But I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to keep letting them do this to me. Like, I have no idea what the Panthers are going to do, because the obvious solution will be right there. They'll go in the total opposite direction. Like, they go from A to Z to get back through the alphabet instead of going straight from A to Z. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or they'll go from Z to A. But I don't really get it. You know, like you said, a lot of those players that they had scouted and had, you know, second round grades on, they were bypassing them and just racking up picks. So we'll get to see pretty quickly whether the quantity over quality approach actually worked for them. Because that's
one more point. Basically, I think if we stayed exactly where we were, we didn't make no trades and no moves or nothing, we could have walked out. The way the board was falling, we could have walked out of this draft with six outstanding football players that were all going to make a difference. You ain't got 11 picks. So at this point, you're hoping that you get four of them, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
I agree. Will, how'd you feel about the trading backs, man? Did we pick up some quality talent or what?
A little bit mixed. I like the Terrace Marshall pick a lot. I think he was probably a first-round pick if he was healthy. I mean, he's 6'4", big and fast, can make contested catches. You're talking about a team that struggled in the red zone. I think he's going to be an immediate impact player in that regard. I think he'll challenge next year right away for that number two wide receiver spot. And he gives you flexibility with both DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson's contracts coming up. So, I mean, if he can stay healthy, I think he has the talent to really – push to even be the number one receiver on this team. This third round, not really a fan of that round there. I mean, Brady Christensen, Pitt, I get why. I mean, he's an athletic lineman. He can fit anywhere, guard or tackle. I mean, I know a lot of people are hoping he can be the answer at left tackle. I mean, that remains to be seen. But I thought there were better linemen on the board in round two, and you didn't really have to settle for him there. Tommy Tremble, I love his skill set. I just question whether that position is worth the third round pick as well. Then you start to get to day three, and I think that's a little bit of a mixed bag. I mean, Chuba Hubbard, I get why they need to take some of the weight off Christian McCaffrey, but are they actually going to get a guy to ball? I mean,
no.
Right?
I don't hit us all there for you. No, they're not.
Yeah,
they were reluctant to give Mike Davis the ball. They're not going to give Chuba Hubbard the ball. It's just not going to happen unless Christian is injured. And I'm knocking on wood because I hope he's healthy.
Right. If you don't get but two carries a game, that's a wasted draft pick. I mean, you got to at least give him some kind of
I mean, just like CJ Anderson, it wasn't a draft pick, but they are very, very used to using Christian McCaffrey as a security blanket. I'm just going to hope that last season was at least a good enough example for them to follow in terms of ball distribution. Like, you got some players on the team. Christian McCaffrey is amazing, but you got receivers for a reason. He shouldn't be the most targeted in the game. He's a freaking running back. You got DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, all these 1,000-yard performers. Get them the ball. Continue to have that ball distribution that you had when Christian was injured, and I think they'll be fine. But, like I said, the obvious solution will be right there. Then the Panthers will go the other way. So we're going to see. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, they used the draft pick on, so hopefully they use them. But, I mean, we led the country in rushing 2019. So, I mean, he can play, but I guess the question is, we're still going to see running the ball to Christian McCaffrey 25, 30 times and having him.
Oh, Christian McCaffrey is going to get his touches. Yeah. He's going to get his touches now.
We're talking about 25 to 30.
Yeah, so.
Handoff and receiving, he's going to get it.
Right. He's going to get his touches, like bar none.
But I tell you what, if the defense can create turnovers and a lot more three and outs, hopefully that'll translate into, you know, Chubb getting some more carries and, you know, hopefully that'll work itself out. We cannot just keep relying on Christian all the damn time, man. You know,
yeah, but that's my thing with the Chuba Hubbard pick. I like the player, but are they going to use him? I mean, if we're not going to use him, then what's the point of using a draft pick on a running back? Might as well just wait it to undrafted free agency to get that. But time will tell as far as that goes. And then the rest of the picks, I mean, drafting a long snapper, I wasn't a fan of. I thought that was just kind of doing what I want to do.
Well, to be fair, a couple years ago, they drafted Harrison Butker in the 7th round, let him go, and we saw what he did in Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah, JJ been here, what, since 2008? Oh, I mean,
I think
for a long snapper's not putting points on the field.
Yeah. True. Yeah. I think they're just getting ready to edge JJ on out.
That was a disrespectful pick to a lot of guys who should have been drafted, in my opinion. That was a disrespectful pick in the 6th round at that, not even the 7th round. Like, that was a disrespectful pick. And you guys were speaking about it earlier, with no players from HBCUs getting drafted and you have a long snapper getting drafted in the 6th round, disrespectful.
Right. Yeah, like we got David Moore from Grambling. He had a fourth round grade on a lot of boards, but since he went to an HBCU, I mean, everyone says, oh, we can just get him as an undrafted free agent. No one's going to take him. And that's just kind of the mentality they have. So you got two long snappers get drafted. I think the Redskins, or not white, Washington football team, I'm sorry, took a long snapper in the 7th round. So you got two long snappers getting drafted before any players from HBCUs at all. That just doesn't sit well with me. But other than that, I mean, it's exciting to get 11 players. But you look at Scott Fitterer and the Seahawks draft the last couple of years. I mean, I'm looking at 11 picks. Most of these guys aren't even making the team. They're on other teams. Some are just solid contributors, rotational players. Maybe hit on one. Like, you got a DK Metcalf in there. Or, you know, you got a Chris Carson in the 7th round. So maybe some of these guys hit, but I just think the quality or the quantity over quality thing is just throwing a bunch of darts at the dartboard and just hoping one sticks. I mean, draft is pretty much a lottery. So you guess if you have more tickets in the game, you have a better chance on hitting on them. But
I don't necessarily agree with that. Like I said, once they started drafting, you know, grabbing up all those picks, I was just seeing it as a quality versus quantity thing. Yeah. And, you know, you can have 11 picks, but like you said, if only 3 or 4 of them pan out, what's the point?
Right.
I don't know, but I found my way up to these comments. Somebody said that they were more shocked with the long snapper draft pick. They said Rue just be doing too much. he be doing a lot, though. He does do a lot.
Truth to that. That's some truth to that.
Man, I just am shocked that they are all in on Sam Darnold like this.
That worries.
That's the thing that's really getting me, you know, beyond. I know we're talking about the draft, but I'm like, man. I mean, even though, you know, Aaron Rodgers is still out there. But anyway, you know, they're all, listen. I mean, let's shake it all the way up. I mean, let's shake it all the way up. He can only end up in Denver or Carolina, theoretically. Those are the only places he could possibly end up with the way things are going. But, I mean, I was just shocked that he was – because they were all in like this on Teddy just 12 months ago. We saw how that ended. That's the thing.
Look at Matt Rule. He comes from Temple and Baylor. So when he's recruiting, he's not getting the 5-star kids out of high school. He's got to look – got to bank on traits.
Yeah, but he wasn't getting paid at Baylor Temple like he's getting paid. Like, you got to step that up. It's a lot more cutthroat in the NFL than it is in NCAA football.
Yeah, they're not going to be as patient with him. But I just think he's used to being at a school where he's not getting five-star recruits to say, I can change this kid. I can make him better. I can develop him over 4 years and build him into the player I hope he can be. And he's kind of bringing that mentality to the NFL, saying, I'm a better coach than Adam Gase. I can do more with Sam Darnold than he can. So, I mean, time will tell. I don't think.
That's the approach they're taking.
Darnold's I mean,
the approach they're taking. Yeah, that's the approach that they're taking, that it was all Gase. So
it's a risk, though, because like Sheena said,
it's definitely a risk.
Let Justin Fields ball out in Chicago.
Okay? Let him ball out in Sam Tank.
Justin Fields ball out in Chicago, and Sam is Teddy Bridgewater 2.0. Because we all know Tepper was not a Teddy fan at all. So let Sam ball out. And Sam Darnold be another Teddy Bridgewater. Matt Rhule.
Vashti and I will be coming from y'all outside of Bank of America Stadium after a round table meeting with David Tepper explaining why Matt Rhule was let go.
Matt Rhule was fired. And we'll go back to this show right here. And we'll look at if Justin Fields is hoops in Chicago, it's going to be problems.
Yeah.
I don't think it's troubling that the two most important positions on the offense, it seems like we can't figure out. How do you progress as a football team when you have different quarterbacks every year? You ain't saw left tackle. How good are we going to be? That's just my
opinion. That's the thing. This team has struggled with continuity, and that's another reason that I like that J.C. Horn pick. Like, that secondary, most tenured it was, or the most stable it was when they had James Bradberry, and then they let him walk in free agency. So they're going to need – I like the long-term investment in – well, I'm not going to say long-term investment because we don't know what his contract situation is. But I feel like that's where the value of that J.C. Horn pick comes in. There's not a lot of continuity. There's a lot of moving pieces via injury, free agency, you know, cuts and things like that. There's just not a lot of continuity with this team in the last, I would say, 4 to 5 seasons, and we're struggling to find that, and it's very difficult to even get that camaraderie on the offensive line because so many guys are playing out of position due to injury. So that's one of the things that I think is going to be a key going into this 2021 season, is just some chemistry and continuity, especially with the way COVID is. Although I will say, leaving the draft, I feel confident that things are going to be back to normal or close to normal by the time things kick off, because I was not expecting us to be able to interface with the athletes. We were like, boom, boom, like close. Nice. I was kind of shocked. I was going to the bathroom. And I didn't, they're like, oh, they're going to stop and do, you know, stand-ups. And I was like, they're going to do stand-ups. I wasn't even prepared to ask a question because I didn't go to Cleveland thinking that we were actually going to see them. We were in a press conference room for the first time in 2 years. That was still kind of shocking. But if that's any indication, the NFL is going right back to as close to normal as possible, which isn't shocking because of all the money they lost. But we didn't have to verify whether or not we were vaccinated, and sure we were within arm's reach. We were within arm reach. I could have put my phone right in Trey Lance's face. So I would say that things are inching as closely to normal as possible. By the time September rolls around, I'm pretty sure Bank of America will be at least to 75% capacity. I would be shocked if it was less than that.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Our fans need that.
Yeah, but they also need to be vaccinated. So I feel like that should be a political thing. That's a political thing. I know. I'm sorry. But I believe in safety, and I want to get back to regular life as fast as everybody else.
Yeah.
But it also takes some discipline.
Somebody mention that, Kelvin, you posted the comment that somebody said Darnold is on his rookie contract, low risk, high reward. I agree with that, which is why I thought they would get Justin Fields when he was
another quarterback. Because, right?
You know, these guys, Sam Darnold is such low risk. Yeah, they gave up some picks, but they didn't give up anything really serious for him. Nothing that they didn't give up a first rounder or anything. God knows they would not have done that. But so that's why when they didn't pick Justin with all of the questions surrounding Sam Darnold, I was shocked. But, you know, we're not bashing Darnold. I think all of us here
hope that Darnold
does well, because when the Panthers do well, business is good and business is better. So, you know, and so We all want the Panthers to be successful. We want Darnold to be successful.
Are you froze, B?
With Darnold, we got to realize that he's 23 in the 2018 draft. He was like the highest rated quarterback coming out. I think they had him as a – I mean, I'm looking at a draft profile right now. They had him as a Pro Bowl talent graded. So, I mean, Justin Fields is kind of the shiny new toy. We've seen him dominate in college and doing all this stuff. But Darnold's only 23, and he was probably at least as equally graded as Fields coming out as a prospect. So, I mean, I think you still got a young quarterback with upside. It's just a matter of what are you going to surround him with, how are you going to use him, and, you know, can he live up to his potential?
So, Elvin, friend – oh, okay. I was going to address Elvin, friend.
I'll let you do that. I'll let you do that in a second. JD, go ahead and chime in, bro. How you feel about the picks and that we got in the second, third, and all that good stuff?
As far as trading back, I knew it was going to be a lot to trade back day two when the news dropped that they had like 16 or 15 first round grades in the first round, like on their board. So 15 guys that they think are first rounders, and from that perspective. The media ran with the narrative that the Panthers are going to trade back in the first round. That just told me that their group of day two, three guys are just so deep that they just need more picks. They want to have more picks to be able to pick those guys up. But as far as trading back 20 spots, eight O-linemen went in that spot from 39 to 59. Eight O-linemen went, and I had 7 of them graded higher than Christian on my board. So you're missing out on some quality players, but you're going for quantity. Also, along the lines of with the Chuba Hubbard pick, I'll just comment on that real quick and I'll pass it. As far as what we're talking about with our O-line, with our offensive snap and target rate, to be honest with you, if we're going to keep it a buck, for Joe Brady, he don't care about winning. Right now, what it's about for Joe Brady is that head coaching job. Team wins do not get you head coaching jobs if you're an offense coordinator. That's just point blank, period.
What Why do you say that? You what said he that, needs that is numbers. You don't think the wins would help
no.
Boost? Why you say that? No. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just curious as to like your perspective.
Yeah, it's a hot take, and I'll expound on it. Sean McVay. It's about when you're a young offensive-minded coordinator.
White.
You come into a league.
Look, you said that out.
I'll say it, white. A young offensive-minded guru. It's about getting your numbers. What Christian do, he get numbers. As far as Joe Brady, damn the team wins. He don't care about that. He trying to get to that head coaching job. That's point blank, period. And you know how I know this? Because he didn't put the best players on the field at times back last year. We had P.J. Walker at wide receiver four times with 3,000-yard receivers on the sideline, bruh. You don't do that and you're trying to win a game. You don't come out in heavy packages and you're not getting no push on the O-line and you're trying to win a game. That's not what you do. Joe Brady, for me, Joe Brady is trying to get a head coaching job. And I'm not slighting him.
I think you absolutely.
I'm not slighting him, but I'm just saying he's trying to get his money.
I think wins matter, though. Wins and numbers matter. Too.
Well, let's say that
you can't have numbers on
how many wins did how many wins did Adam Gase have before he got that job?
That's what I was going to say. Now, if you're black, you got to come with all of that. But if you are white, young, offensive mind. You can be a Cliff Kingsbury and get fired at the college level because you can't win even with somebody like Patrick Mahomes under center. You can come to the NFL with no experience and get hired as a head coach, but you just have to be the right complexion. I'm not even trying to pull a race card. I'm just being real. Like, it doesn't matter whether or not these white offensive minds are successful. They're going to get opportunities that black men wouldn't because there's not a lot of black offensive coordinators. Most head coaches, the way that trajectory goes is offensive coordinator to head coach. You rarely see a defensive coordinator go to head coach. And those are the coordinator positions that we more than likely, occupy. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with Steve Wilks, he went from DC to head coach. How much of a leash did he have?
Kev, you
so you got to be white. I'm sorry. And I said the same thing when people were talking about Joe Brady. I felt like it was absolutely asinine to even put him in a conversation for being a head coach. I love Joe Brady.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I love him. He's swagged out. I love him. He's a cool dude. He just wasn't. I just didn't feel like he deserved those opportunities over, you know, an Eric Bieniemy.
No.
Yeah, but so, Sean, I like Sean McVay. He's one of the best offensive linemen.
I like Sean McVay too, but everybody can't be Sean McVay.
Yeah, the Redskins was 8-7-1, and he got the Rams job. I mean, Byron Leftwich didn't even get an interview after winning the Super Bowl this year. So.
I'm just trying to put y'all on game.
I mean, it was so bad. It was so bad that somebody in the post-game Super Bowl presser thought that he was Todd Bowles, talking about how you stopped Patrick Mahomes, and he was like, what? Not to mention he had a prolific, you know, career as a player. So how do you not know who Byron Leftwich is? But you know
we thought Tommy Tremble was white at first.
Wow.
I did too. I'm not gonna hold you. I did too. I never heard of him before we drafted him, before the Panthers drafted him.
So you add that to a long snapper, you can understand how I feel about this draft. I'm gonna let Kevin add it for
anger.
Hey, Kev, go ahead, man. Chime in, bro.
Yeah, you know, y'all bringing up all these coaches. Like, what in the world did Matt LaFleur do to get the Green Bay job? I mean, it's the fact that he shook hands with Sean. It seemed like anybody that shook hands with Sean McVay, you must be an offensive genius just like him. I mean, he was, the offense coordinator for Tennessee. When the last time the Titans was a juggernaut on offense or even average on offense?
Man, listen, the fact that Jeff Fisher was allowed to do what he did in the NFL, all bets are off.
Oh, I was saying, as far as the rest of the draft goes, just to sum up real quick, the fact that in the second and third rounds, the fact that we took blockers called Tommy Tremble and Brady Christensen instead of Jackson Carmen and Wyatt Davis, who was sitting right there for us, I mean, it's just going to be funny watching the next 2-3 years those two players be Pro Bowlers, and we're still hoping that these relative athletic scores, which it seemed to be what the Panthers drafted by, because it seems like, you know, we had our watch party here, and we literally were saying, like, two of the players that got drafted had the highest relative athletic score, and we picked them. I'm like, well, damn, is that the formula this year? You know, I mean, yeah. Friday was the worst day for me. I was cool with Thursday with J.C. Horn. And that's J.C. Horn. Someone tell David Newton it's not Kaylee Horn, okay? All right.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I heard that. I was like, really? Did he say Kaylee Horn? Okay.
All right. I'm not even going to talk about him.
He tweeted that.
I need more wine.
Ooh, have a sip for me. Look, this Gatorade ain't going to do. Have some for me. But
man, when I tell you how many DMs I get about why people asking me why David Newton still has a job, and I'm like, y'all, how do I? Come on now. I have nothing to do with this.
And did you see his tweet when he said Luke Kuechly resigned with the Panthers instead of resigned? I was like,
let's be honest, though. People ask why David Newton still has a job, but they follow him and they read his stuff. So it doesn't matter if you ask, oh, well, why does David Newton have a job with the Panthers and
you're still engaging?
Reporter. Well,
He has
40,000 followers who say he does his job okay.
I hope you take his job.
And people are reading his articles. Meanwhile, you have other people who are in that media room and who try to do just as good a job or better, and you know, not as much support. Now, granted, he's with ESPN, but the Panthers are a real niche market. And so there are the way Panthers Twitter is and fans and the Roaring Riot, a lot of us know each other, because if you see one person's tweet, you see everybody's tweet, because there's a lot of interaction. So obviously Panthers fans are following David Newton. And it is, I mean, I hate to hear people complain, hit the unfollow button. If he says something stupid, why are you retweeting him and giving him even more exposure? If you don't like what David Newton says, pump up the people who you like more. And that's all I got to say about that.
Preach.
Hey, Kevin, I need you to
take an offer for that young lady, please. Pass the hat around.
Kevin, I need you to give me some flowers real quick, bro. Because I've been catching flack today and when I did the episode yesterday with them other podcasts. When the last time I missed the offensive lineman? When the last time I had a bad perspective on one? I just need you to answer that for everybody that, like, show them the facts. When do I really mess up when it comes to looking at offensive linemen and deciding who's trash and who's good? Somebody tell me. I don't miss. So I'm not trying to. You spot on, like,
because before we got together, I thought I knew a lot about offensive line, but I got no problems. You know, I got no problems putting assistant on the title, assistant O-line guru, because you know your stuff, and that's credit. That's not knocking my knowledge and my experience, because I think is very reputable, and I got the resume to prove it. But you that dude, you know, and I tell anybody, that's why I tag you anything with the offensive line, like that thing with Jeff Schwartz and Duke Merriweather with the Big Boys Club, anything like that. Hey, you know, I'm making it known about you. So, but yeah, you that guy. No talk.
I just don't want people to be mad at me because I don't like Brady Christensen. I don't like his tape. It's that simple.
I was going to say,
move on.
Oh.
Smooth. And if you guys don't mind, I just want to add, like, what grade would you give Panthers offensive line right now? Are they F trash?
I have confidence in Moten for sure. I have confidence in Paradis, but I don't know how much he has left. Like I said, Deontay Brown, the fact that he was on my board, that's why I'm happy. But he wasn't my favorite guard. I watched Trey Smith go. I watched Wyatt Davis go. I watched Jackson Carmen go. I watched too many other great guards on the board for us go. But right now, it's a question mark. I like David Moore too, but like everybody been saying, I feel like he should have been drafted. So I want to say that's a steal. But it's also an injustice. Like, he should have been off the board a long time ago, and we got him as an undrafted free agent. But if I got to grade this draft, I'm giving it a C. This offensive line, I'm giving it a C because I really don't see an answer at left tackle. I think we're going to struggle there. I think that you're not going to be able to see the best of Sam Darnold because he's going to be getting rid of the ball real fast. I think that Christian McCaffrey deserves a lot more. He deserves to be able to get upfield 3 yards before having to make a move or be in touch. We haven't changed that yet. So I'm giving it a C right now.
Do you see any starting on left tackles after Slater was off the board? Because I know it's round two. Every round you get down, down, and down, it's less likely to go get an immediate starter right there.
Hey, I got him pulled up right here. So check this out. When we traded with Chicago to go from 39 overall to 52, here's the following tackles that went off the board shortly after. Miami Dolphins pick 42. They took Liam Eikenberg out of Notre Dame. Right after that, Jacksonville Jaguars took Walker Little out of Stanford, 45th pick. Then right after that, the Bengals took Jackson Carmen with the 46th pick. The Washington Football Team. They took Sam Cosmi, who I wasn't a big fan of, but still a tackle. They took him with the 51st pick. The Titans took Dylan Reduns from North Dakota State with the 53rd pick. So you're talking about, five, six left tackles that I can make a legit case for were better than what we ended up with as far as
– Three of them are day one starters. Three of them are day one starters, day one. And we'll do a good job at it. Now you can put my hat on that. They're going to be great football players.
Damn, man.
Right. But as far as the rest of the draft, I mean, day three, I like day three for the most part. I think one of the biggest steals was Davion Nixon out of Iowa. They were saying that this was one of the weakest defensive draft class. Getting a player of his caliber in the fifth round, and I'll be honest, I never heard of him till we got up. But once I started doing my own little research and digging and things like that, I'm seeing that this could potentially be a steal on day three. As far as the questions with the offensive line, I think four position could be solidified. I think Taylor Moten at right tackle. I would like to see David Moore get the right guard spot, him or Dennis Daly. Of course, Paradis at center and Deontay Brown at left guard. But again, that question mark is at that left tackle. So offensive line potentially could be a B- with them four, but the only thing that's going to keep it from being a very good to great offensive line is going to be what happens at left tackle. Maybe Trent Scott, who beat out Greg Little, which ain't saying much, to start last year after Russell Okung got his bitcoins and chilled for the rest of the season. But I mean, hey, you know, it's that left door is still a revolving door. This would be the ninth season since Jordan Gross retired that we're gonna have a different starting left tackle.
If you would have took Jackson Carmen or even Walker Little, I would have confidence that this is an A offensive line. Because I'm cool with Deontay. I'm cool with the interior. I'm cool with David Moore and Deontay Brown. But if you just would have took one of those, if you just would have did something at left tackle, I would have a completely different perspective. But it's gonna hurt. It's really gonna hurt because you don't really know who's gonna play at that position.
That's what I'm saying. No continuity.
Dennis Daly is a guard.
There's no continuity and there's no chemistry because people are constantly playing out of position all year.
That's going. I agree with you, Larry. That's going to bite us in the ass, bro. Unfortunately, hopefully that defense is going to be stout enough where we're not going to suffer too much.
Like JD said earlier, JC Horn pick, that was the most exciting thing we can get up about. That's my favorite pick.
Yeah.
We always hit on first rounders, so that's my optimism right there.
Yeah, no, they were playing like with Brady Christensen. One of the things they said, they was high on him. And you could tell because he fits the athletic profile of what they like. I mean, he ran with a 4.8, 40, something like that. I mean, his arms are a little bit short for a tackle that you would want from a tackle. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he did 30 reps on the bench press. So you look at his athletic profile, I mean, you can see, you know, some upside there. But, I mean, it just doesn't show on tape, it seems like. Because I watched the tape with Kev, or was it Friday afternoon while we were waiting for our next pick? And it's just something was missing there. I mean, he might just be better off at guard. I mean,
Will, show me his most dominant game. Give me a game I could go watch where he dominated. You don't have it. And look at the competition he's playing.
You don't see him pass pro. He doesn't. I mean, they go off like that PFF stuff where he's not giving up pressures, but he's getting beat on a lot of reps. And I think you see Zach Wilson making plays. So I guess they don't. I don't know what they record as a pressure or not. But I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he adjusts. Maybe, you know, he's just better off inside, or he might be able to coach him up and see what he can become. But I don't hate the pick at that spot. One thing I will say. I think he's a good value at that particular spot. It's just more a matter of what they passed on in trading back to get him. But as a late third rounder, you know, a guy that can probably back up both tackle positions, slide in at guard, it gives you depth, which is what you're looking for typically on day two and three.
What I will say, though, to add on to that, because I watched three of his games so far from last year, when BYU played Louisiana Tech, when they played Houston, and when they play University of Texas, San Antonio, the biggest thing that stands out about him, he's got a long torso and he's got short legs. So him bending at the waist is very natural for him. That's going to cause him a lot of grief with the defensive ends in the NFL by maintaining, being able to get that leverage and to be able to keep his feet moving. Because a lot of times he'll be the first one off the line of scrimmage. He gets to jump faithfully, like, I'll give him that. He gets off the ball faster than anybody else you see on that line. But what he does after that, I'm thinking about Cam Jordan. I'm thinking about Shaq Barrett. I'm thinking about the people in our division just looking at this kid like, oh, that's your Mr. Blindside? I bet. Because, you know, he's big and he's in space, but he's not assertive at all. And just watching those three games so far, I've yet to see anything of a dominating even series. Like, I see a few here or there. I see that he just was – I mean, when you're blocking 6'2", 250-pound defensive ends, of course you're going to look like you're dominating. But you're not going to see that in the NFL. You know, Brian Burns is going to eat him up in practice.
Mm-hmm.
He don't get under nobody. That's going to be a problem for him at this level because we're trying to run the ball. That's what they said. We still want to be a physical football team. If you can't drive guys off the ball, it's going to be a problem for you. He gets off the ball fast, like Kevin said. I love him in space. When it's the screen game and the toss game, he's great in space because he's an athlete. When they come and just – Kev, go back to that game where we lost against the Raiders where you got to get a push on fourth down. He's not doing that for you, bro.
Nah,
it's that simple.
He's not that guy. He's not that guy at all. But, you know, just overall with him, I mean, it's just a hope. It's just a hope and a prayer that somehow the coaching staff can, you know, can mm-hmm. somehow, you know, put that together. But from those three games that I watched him so far, I'm not even feeling optimistic a little bit. So, you know, that's why we're fans. That's why they're coaches. So, hey, at the end of the day, all I got is internet and Google to come up with what I can come up with. But at the end of the day, film don't lie. And, you know, and if you're soft as rabbits pissing on cotton, and which is what my offensive line coaches say to me, which is what I see with this guy. I mean, he's not that guy that's going to get you that fourth and goal on the 1 yard line. Do not run behind Deontay Brown if you want that score.
There you have it.
Hey, I think the Detroit Lions be listening to us, bro, because they took every lineman like. Detroit Lions have. The Minnesota Vikings, the Detroit Lions, and the Cincinnati Bengals, they have every single lineman that we liked in this draft. So they doing something right up there.
But I'm a skill player, guy. I got what I want. I got two cornerbacks, got a running back, two wide receivers. I mean, Shai Smith, you watch him at the Senior Bowl. This is ability to separate. You might be that Curtis Samuel replacement you're looking for more so than Terrace Marshall, because he's that guy that can play the slot, separate, run routes like that. So, I mean, now you got four receivers deep that can come in and make plays. Hopefully they use Chuba, you know, fingers crossed there. You got Terrace Marshall. Was a good pick. So I really think they added a lot of talent at the skill players, even though the O-line might have not been addressed like everybody wanted. So I'm looking forward to what they can do.
Right. Like Cena said, we do the opposite of what we're supposed to do. So it is what it is. Y'all had pretty toys already, Will. I'm good.
I mean, outside of
J.C. Horn, I was good. I like J.C. Horn. I like Marshall.
Yeah, that's the thing. I like the J.C. Horn pick. I said that they were going to shake it up and take a cornerback. I just thought it was going to be – I didn't think it was going to be Horn.
What's the best
thing? Who said y'all already had pretty toys? Like, you need something else. Where's the substance? I like that, Smooth. I'm going to steal it. I'm letting you know in advance.
You can have it. She love it. We out in public and we can just chill with my partners
and we can go back to my crib and just chill on the covers. And do we come in and you love us? The Foreman Rush is brought to you by the love and respect of and for the Carolina Panthers and Carolina Panther fans everywhere. Keep pounding. The Foreman Rush is a non-affiliate of the Carolina Panther organization. All thoughts, assessments, and content of this podcast is directly related to the Foreman Rush exclusively. Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.